Blog Talk Radio.
The off-season version of a much less detailed podcast on a Thursday night, May the 1st, 2014. I'm Dre, he's Jay. I accidentally cut him off again at the beginning of the show, but he's back because he's a pro and he knows how to get right back in there even after I cut him off, which I'm good at doing that by accident.
I thought you were just taking out all your anger about the Donald Sterling thing by shutting out the white man and hanging up on me. I thought you were standing on the podium with the white glove up, with the black glove up in the air while you did it too. Head hanging down, the black glove up in the air, like, you know what? Take it, man. You're the man. I'm hanging up on the man.
That's right. I'm taking ownership of this show just like somebody's taking ownership of the Clippers. Just taking it right away from the man. Just, I'm going to own this now. You can't own it anymore because I decided that you're too vile to own it.
You just gave me the life. Were you going to give me the lifetime ban?
That's right. You are no longer allowed on this show ever.
I figured you were just mad about me beating you in football and then beating you in the NCAA tournament. Now I see that you're playing the race card. I see how you are. I see. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. I can take it. I'm a big boy.
When the black man gets mad in this country, he comes with all his vengeance. You know what? Actually, I want to back off of all that a little bit. First of all, I'm going to give the plugs right now because I'll forget. Anyone has any opinions on this topic, the Donald Sterling topic that we're sort of lampooning, give us a call if you want. It's late at night. I know hardly anyone's listening, but if you're up and you want to give us a shout, our number is 646-595-4534. Lines are always open. You can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at IMLDDre. Jason's at IMLDJTG. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes to get the 15-minute after-show version after we go off the air, after the live portion is through at 10:30. We have 15 more minutes that we do. You can hear that exclusively on iTunes. Just search for A Much Less Detail of the Podcast, and when it comes down, when you subscribe to the podcast, when it comes in, it'll be 45 minutes of our hot takes, our fresh takes on the day's topics. A lot of people were interested in our takes in the last show. Our guest, David Lewis, the commissioner of the Ad Hack Fantasy Baseball League, want to thank him once again for coming on and giving us a great show. A lot of people were very interested in that and got a nice little boost in listenership, and we'll definitely have him back on at some other point. But yeah, this topic we had to get back on once this broke this weekend. It was craziness. Donald Sterling, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. The beginning of this thing, the genesis, is that he gets a private conversation recorded between him and his jump off, his girlfriend, his lover, whatever you want to call her. She calls herself V. Stiviano. She's not important enough for me to go Google search her and see what the V stands for, although I guess I can take a guess at what it stands for, seeing what she's in the public spotlight for. Seeing what got her in the public spotlight, what got her boyfriend, Donald Sterling, because I'm sure it wasn't her intellectual skill. That's a good guess. Yeah, that's a pretty good guess at what the V stands for. But, we're still awaiting. This story has just started. We're still awaiting her Playboy spread. We're still awaiting her ghostwritten book by somebody that can put a sentence together. All this is still just beginning. But that's the start of it. Is she videotapes a conversation that they're having secretly. He doesn't know he's being, I guess it's audio tape, not videotape, but she secretly records a private conversation they're having in which he expresses to her his anger and disappointment that she's got pictures of herself on Twitter at Clippers games with people like Magic Johnson. I mean, just the worst people in society, the dregs of society, horrible. I mean, Magic Johnson, God, what has he done? Who is he?
He's
all
a thug.
He is like a exactly. He's, you know, Goodwill ambassador and HIV survivor and multi-million-dollar businessman, pillar of the community, and one of the all-time role models in our country, what he's done with his life after that horrible HIV diagnosis, you know. But all he is to Donald Sterling is just some black guy. Don't get photographed with those black guys. Don't have that element in my arena watching my games, because as we know, it's all about me. It's all about my players and my games. I'm the one that runs the Clippers. I'm the one that owns the Clippers. I'm the one that gives these guys cars and money and houses and all of this, you know. So that's the genesis of it, is right off the bat, the controversy blows up as soon as TMZ gets a hold of this recording, as soon as V. Stiviano makes whatever deal she made with TMZ to give up this recording. The stuff hit the fan, the shit hit the fan as soon as that tape hit the airwaves, hit the TMZ website on Saturday. Jason, what was your reaction when you first heard this controversy start?
When the news first broke and I read the story before opinion took over, you know, just reading it as fact, what was my reaction? Well, guy's a douchebag. I mean, that was my reaction. Wow, what a shock. Some multi-millionaire entitled guy, billionaire even, who owns a sports team is, he's a secret racist. You know? Okay, so now he's been outed as a secret racist, and he said some really, really insensitive things, and he's an idiot. And from at that point, it became, what is the NBA going to do? Are they going to kind of sanction the guy? Are they, you know, what's this guy going to face? And it just turned into a total like shitstorm. And now this whole thing has been, it's gone beyond this guy just being a dick, which as more and more comes out, it's like, this shouldn't be a shock to anybody. Like, everybody's kind of already known this guy was a jerk. And that's what he is. He's an asshole with a lot of money who owns a sports franchise. And then it really started getting crazy. You know, new NBA commissioner wants to flex a little muscle. It's not David Stern anymore. It's this Adam Silver. I wouldn't know him if he walked in the room and said, "Hi, I'm Adam Silver." But you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to flex some muscle. I'm going to give this guy the old Pete Rose lifetime ban. I mean, that sounds awesome. But basically, you know, you're kicking this guy out of ownership of a sports franchise because he's a jerk. So clearly this Sterling is going to fight it. This is going to get ugly. We're catching this at the very beginning, because this is going to be soap opera, you know, 10 years from now, maybe 5 years from now. We're going to have a movie about this, because you're going to have all kinds of people who are going to be, we're going to have books, we're going to have the tell-alls, like you said, we're going to have the Playboy spread, and then the interview. I will say this Donald Sterling has not denied he said any of these things. Basically, he's just saying, hey, you're not taking my team away from me, I'm going to make your lives all living hell in the meantime. But you've got, what, an estranged wife, a mistress, the NBA trying to kick him out, the players were threatening to boycott. At the end of the day, they didn't, because they know that even though this guy's a raging douchebag, he still signs the checks. Very interesting with this whole thing with the Clippers, which is sad, because this was a franchise that's been mired in mediocrity and horrible play for so many years, and now they're good, and this is what these guys have to deal with. It's a mess.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a mess, and there's no... You know, you can try to boil it down to just one issue, you know, you could try to boil it down to just the race part of it or the professional part of it. But you can't have any of them without the other. And it's just such a tangled web. And that's the way, and it's every day more and more and more and more comes out about this. And it's spreading around here. I'm looking at the news streaming on my computer screen right now, and it says that the NAACP Los Angeles chapter president had to quit today because they had given Donald Sterling a Lifetime Achievement Civil Rights Award. Oops.
Which is about the equivalent of, and I haven't thought about this, so I'm going to come up with something probably really disgusting and not classy, because I should have thought about this before I count on the air. That's got to be about the equivalent of, whoo, boy.
Well, this reminds
giving,
me just well,
probably
this
giving
reminds
R.
Me
Kelly
on
a Lifetime Achievement Award for dealing with children or something, you know.
This reminds me
it's
of
about
Eugene Robinson on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
Eugene Robinson
yeah,
gets
one.
The Man of the Year Award from some Christian organization and then celebrates by trying to get blown by a hooker.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's an all-timer.
We call that irony, folks. And so, but now you're having it, this little recording that this girl made, who's not quite white herself, which has been
well, not at all,
talked
right?
about. Not at all.
Part black,
like
part Mexican.
I mean, it's L.A. Can you really tell? you don't know who's what anymore. It's Los Angeles. Not just affecting Sterling and his family and his team. Now it's affecting the president of the chapter of the NAACP. I mean, and this is just anybody he's donated money to is starting to turn the money back. This guy has become toxic, and you know, and once again, as we had with the sort of like we had with the whole gay issue with the college players coming out, and we're not talking about the NBA finals or the playoffs or anything like that. We're talking about the racist owner of the Clippers, and this could right. Wow, could this be happening at a worse time? Is this boosting ratings or is it not? I don't know. I'm not watching it either way. Not a big NBA guy. I used to be a lot more into the NBA, but over the last few years, I don't know. It doesn't have any real appeal to me. Don't know who the players are, but now everybody know who owns the Los Angeles Clippers. And if you had to go out and name three other owners, you might have trouble. I know I would.
Yeah. You get pretty much Mark Cuban and then a bunch of mouths dropping like, yeah.
Yeah, people only know Mark Cuban because he puts himself out there. You know,
yeah,
he's
exactly.
Sort of the Jerry Jones of the NBA. It's interesting using football as an analogy here because, you know, we're mainly a football-themed show for half the year. But you know a lot more of the owners. The owners are a lot more front and center in the NFL. We're going to see them all here in a few weeks for the draft. These guys all get trotted out there. They're vocal. They get interviewed a lot. You almost have to have some kind of a presence where you see a lot of these owners. When an NFL owner dies, my God, it's the black armbands and it's all this stuff and it's the stadium named after the guy and, you know, a moment of silence around the league. Nobody cares in the NBA, so to have this guy be so toxic, he almost kind of like drags all the owners down. So I can understand why they want him gone. He's the face of NBA
yeah.
team ownership right now, that guy.
Yeah, I think the NFL thing is more a function of the popularity of the sport, because I think if the NBA's popularity was as big as the NFL, the owners, I think, would grow in popularity as well. I don't think the NFL owners are necessarily more personality-wise, bigger personalities are trying to get themselves out there more necessarily. I think it's because the NFL is so fucking big that these owners get the treatment from ESPN when one of them dies. Like, oh, this guy was such a great owner and 40 years and 50 years and his family name and this, that, and the other. I think it's just a function of how huge a monolith the NFL is. But this thing is just beginning, as we said. It starts last Saturday morning, last Saturday afternoon. The story blows up. The first reaction I had was it just made me go back in my mind to all the Deadspin articles that I've read over the years chronicling how big of a douchebag Donald Sterling is. Like you said, you knew how big of a douchebag he was, and you don't keep up with the NBA. But any real sports fan has heard of some of the things that Donald Sterling has said and done over the years. You might not know the details, but you kind of heard, you know, around that, oh, this, you know, he owns a lot of real estate out in California, and he's discriminated against blacks and Hispanics in the housing that he decides to rent out because he just thinks that they are lazy and stink and don't have any place in any of his buildings. So that's what made me think was, okay, how is this really that big a news story that he's got these type of opinions about black people, that he doesn't want them in his building necessarily? If you have read Deadspin over the last 10 years, you've seen an article here or there chronicling how big of a dick Donald Sterling is. I knew that that his name isn't Donald Sterling because of Deadspin's writing. I knew that his name was Donald Tokowitz or whatever, however it's pronounced. He thinks Sterling is something that he should aspire to be. He thinks that's something that he should have his name be Sterling. It should reflect how Sterling he is. It should reflect what he thinks of himself, but he's not actually Sterling. His name isn't even Sterling. So you go from there, the initial shock and the everything reverberating through the media, this on CNN, on ESPN, everywhere you look, the whole Donald Sterling thing blew up this weekend, and then we move on to that evening. The Clippers and the Warriors were playing in Golden State. There was a bit of a rumor. It was actually Sunday afternoon, the Clippers and Warriors were playing, and there was a rumor that the Clippers were not going to play, that they were going to boycott the game because of Donald Sterling's behavior. And I did not have a good reaction to that at all. My reaction to that was these guys didn't know what he was all about. They took his money. They had to know. If I knew, just from reading Deadspin, if I knew that he was a cocksucker, they had to know. How could they get indignant now and decide to boycott and protest now? This isn't new. This isn't new at all. And that whole weekend, I'm seeing things on Twitter about a boycott, and I'm seeing, you know, rumors of different actions being taken by the players' union. If Adam Silver didn't take a strong action of his own, and I just did not get it. I mean, I still don't understand. And there's still rumors now about a boycott that would have happened in the next game Tuesday night that the Clippers and Warriors played back in L.A. That if Adam Silver hadn't done something, it was Tuesday afternoon that Adam Silver held the press conference to announce that he was banning Donald Sterling for life and going to strongly urge the owners to vote to force Donald Sterling into selling the team, which that vote has not happened yet, but it's expected to be, you know, a unanimous vote, because who could vote to have him keep his team now with all the political pressure coming down on them? But as far as the players boycotting a game because of the fact that Donald Sterling is their owner, I actually had a big problem with that, because Donald Sterling's been their owner. Donald Sterling's been a racist douchebag. Donald Sterling has been Donald Sterling for 40, 50 years, and all of a sudden now it's a problem because of one little audio tape that some prostitute that he had as a girlfriend put out there. I did not understand that at all, and I still would have had a big problem if that would have happened. I actually think that's just some talk. I don't actually think they would have boycotted, but I think it's good to get that out there because it makes them seem like they were going to take a stand and throw that black fist in the air like you were talking about with Tommy Smith and John Carlos at the Olympics. It's good to get that image out there that they were going to take a stand and be the big men in this situation and say, we are not going to play for this man. We refuse to play, because it would have been great PR. It would have been great publicity for them. But they knew what the fuck he was all about when they first took his money. So I don't think they would have boycotted these games.
Right. And, you know, and they're at that – they're past the point of no return with this. They got to get rid of him. There's so much PR here, negative. The guy has to go. When your punishment comes down as the lifetime ban, you've painted yourself into that corner. There's no coming back from this. They need to make him disappear. Now, he's a smart guy, so he's going to make the – my understanding is he's going to make this very hard for them. He will fight this. I don't think he's just going to walk right off into the sunset and just be done with it. I don't think this is it, you know, by any stretch. I think this is just going to get uglier and uglier. It's going to completely mire the NBA offseason. Not that anybody cares at all about the NBA offseason, because we're going to have baseball and then football coming back, so they can move right back into third place. But for right now, the NBA is the top story. And on all the sports shows, this is what they're talking about. They're barely talking about the games, which is sad that this is what this is the product. This is what you've got. The other thing here, too, is with this 24-hour media cycle, I'm glad, because you've got a lot of people, you know, coming up and saying, well, we've got to talk about race relations. You've got one guy here and his wife who are racist. There are racist people out there. There are racist people of every color. There aren't just racist white people. There's racist black people. There's racist Asian people. Everybody at some point has the ability to think of themselves as superior and everybody else as inferior, and fear and racism and hate, and there's no place for it. This guy has been outed, even though it doesn't sound like he had to really out himself. It's just like, this is just sort of like, well, we kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We all kind of knew about this, but now it's on tape. Now TMZ got a hold of it, and this whole thing is spread like wildfire. But, the one thing with this guy, this guy owns an NBA team. Nobody on his team has been oppressed. Nobody on his team has been cut because they're black. You know, now, obviously in his business dealings outside of the NBA, he has done things, tenants in his housing with his wife. His wife allegedly would pose as a health inspector to harass the tenants because they were not of the racial status that they would prefer to have in their buildings, to harass them to leave. Just horrible stuff as more and more of this comes out. So, yeah, this didn't happen last week or last month. There's a track record of this, but, oh, now you need a recording of this guy saying something about, hey, to his basically his mistress, don't be bringing the Negro with you to the games. Come on. If you really wanted this guy gone, you could have made this happen a long time ago. So I'm just waiting. I'm not much of a – I don't like to predict the future, but I think this is going to eventually somehow spin back around to David Stern. Someone's going to ask him the question, did you know – you know.
Now, will he answer it?
Right. Did you know this was all going on? With all this documented proof, as the more and more and more of this comes out, everyone loves to backtrack. Everyone loves to be the revisionist. You know, David Stern had his victory lap, right? Went out, he's like, oh, he's the greatest commissioner in sports and blah, 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 and all this stuff. It's going to taint him, too. I mean, look what happened to Joe Paterno. He was clean for so long with that whole Sandusky thing. And then the more and more and more and more and more stuff comes out, you eventually realize that hey, wait a minute, you knew? Or wait, you had a chance? Now, obviously, no one here, you know, no one here's been raped that we know of, and other stuff's going on, but the farther back
who
it
knows,
goes, the uglier it gets, because nobody had the motivation to dig all this stuff up. Now everybody's going to try to dig this stuff up because somebody's going to want to write a book, and somebody's going to want to get this on TV, and you're going to want to have the big magazine articles, and the more dirt they dig up, you start to all of a sudden now taint the leadership of the NBA in the past. And Adam Silver's clean. He kicked the guy out. Said, you know what? Shh, get out of here. Now, Sterling's going to fight this. So I think if anybody's going down with Sterling, it's David Stern. I think it's going to taint him almost to the degree like steroids tainted baseball. But Selig was riding high until all that stuff happened, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because he was commissioner of the home run chase and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden here come the drugs, and wait, you knew about all this? Uh-oh. Now nobody thinks of Bud Selig at all in any kind terms. So I'm thinking – so my little prediction is down the road here, we're going to start to see the negative press affecting that previous NBA leadership.
I've heard about that. I've heard that on a few talk shows. Why did David Stern not do anything about this guy? What happened? I know they were friends supposedly. They were boys. But you know, when you think about all the stuff that, like I said, if I'd read it on Deadspin, I'm sure it's not exactly hard to find all the stuff that this guy did before. That if what he said on that tape was enough to get him banned from the league for life and make him sell his team, and all the stuff that he had done and said before that should have really been enough, but David Stern didn't see fit to make that enough to sanction him in any way, shape, or form. He basically seemed to turn his head and try to hide and look away and not pay any attention. Kind of like what the estranged wife must be doing to even let this stuff go on, because how can you be married to this guy, not just with the viewpoints that he has, but with the dalliances that he's having? I understand they're two adults and they can do whatever they want in their marriage, but come on, there's no redeeming positive qualities there seem to be about this man. And not only is this woman still married to him, but she's getting in the car with him and going out to dinner and getting caught on tape by TMZ and still defending him and still cursing out the paparazzi that want to talk to him as if he's this horrible, aggrieved person that needs to be protected. Give me a break. What the hell does this guy have to do to make his wife, you know, leave him alone and not defend him? Because she just seemed to be, you know, she had her little comments at the game when she attended the game this past Sunday that she didn't want to say on the air. But,
right. You
know, seemingly saying that, oh, he can't really be this person and he couldn't really believe these things. And you can't believe, you know, everything you hear. And this might not even be his voice. We don't really know, you know, all this other bullshit. So she seems to be as big of a turd as he is, but it just goes to show some people just do not give up the ghost no matter what the deal is. They will stay with a horrible person and go down with the sinking ship so long as there's enough money on the line, it seems.
Well, and you know, Sterling had probably a good 12-hour to maybe 36-hour window where I don't know if this guy's a billionaire. Does he have anybody doing PR for him? This comes out. As soon as this comes out, you have an apology written, a lame excuse. Oh, I was mad at my mistress. You know, I'm a horrible person. I had a moment of weakness. I was drunk. There are so many excuses that he could have come up with to at least say he was sorry and regretted everything he said immediately. Just get on TV, put something on the paper. But no, he's basically going, you probably walk up to him and ask him, like, yeah, I said it. What you going to do about it? Like, that is
no,
the problem.
He released a statement evening that was just, it made me hate people. It was so lame. And he said that, we don't know if that's my voice or not, but if it is, then I really didn't mean, you know, what it seems like I said, but it might, but it, we don't think it's my voice. He He completely talked circles around himself. I hated it. It made me hate people when I heard that damn excuse.
But that's the thing. That you've got billions of dollars, and that's the kind of advice you're getting?
Now into our 15-minute after-show portion of our program, where we are still talking about Donald Sterling because, like we said, this has just scratched the surface. This has been what everyone's been talking about. It's unbelievable how these recorded statements could completely bring down an empire so quickly, even though everyone pretty much knew that he had those kind of thoughts and tendencies long before this tape came out.
You know, and we were talking about the bad PR here, and this takes me back to Marge Schott. Probably that was, which has to be probably the first thing, owner of the Cincinnati Reds for people who are under our age, who also made some extremely insensitive, racially charged comments, was not banned for life, but I want to say she was suspended. She went to jail. Am I right that she went to jail or something for a while too?
I don't know about jail. She was
definitely
banned from Major League Baseball for about a year.
Yeah,
but she was still allowed to come back and still allowed to own her team.
Yeah, and almost ended up almost ended up coming back and being, you know, beloved by that city still. She didn't get rid of the team or die. I don't know her history. I'm not like the Marge Schott historian here, but that's sort of what it reminded me of. You know, everybody wants that redemption story, but what we're getting with Sterling is this guy is not redeemable at all.
No.
The NBA looked at this guy. Who knows, for all we know, they might have been just, like, glad this happened because, you know what, this is what we needed to get rid of this guy. Thank God. Story I read today about this, so the NBA tried to kick this guy out back in 1982 for basically saying out loud that he wanted the Clippers to tank games so that they could get the best player in the upcoming draft. One of those things that can do but not say.
Right.
That would
have nothing to do with his disgusting viewpoints and actions that definitively go to suffocate and stamp down a race of people. That's fine. But he was possibly tampering with the quality of the game. He was possibly messing with the integrity of basketball. Now that might have gotten them kicked out of the game.
Well, right. And, you know, and you think back to baseball, and the two most popular lifetime bands are Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson. And that White Sox scandal, Black Sox scandal, I should say, people who were implicated in changing the integrity of the game, either by gambling, well, both of them are related to gambling, but by throwing games or being a manager who's betting on your own team to lose, you know, even though he said he only bet on his team.
But this
to win,
is not.
Come on. This isn't anything to do with
the game itself. This is
only
for his viewpoints and inflammatory comments made in private, which leads to the meta question, which is what do you think of the decision to take his team from him and ban him from the NBA for life, basically for being a racist douchebag? Are you okay with that? Do you have a problem with that?
At first I had a problem with it because I didn't know what I know now. Now what I know, it's just they need this guy gone. So they'll do whatever they can to get rid of him. At first, I don't know as much about this guy's backstory. He said something bad. We don't know what the context was. We don't know if he was having a fight with his girlfriend. Said something he didn't mean. You don't really know. You don't lose, you know, everybody says stuff that they don't mean. You don't lose your job over it, basically. Or have something taken away from you that you own. He had the money. He bought it. He owned it. You know, you start getting into constitutional rights. That's why this whole thing is so messy. Now, with that being said, I think of the NFL. If this was the NFL and he did this, Roger Goodell probably would have shown up at his door with a shotgun and shot him in the face and gotten away with it. Because in the NFL, Roger Goodell can do anything he wants. The NFL has so much power. If this guy would do this and create the uproar, Roger Goodell could have done anything. He could have just
not only that.
This guy would have a cement block tied around his ankle, and he'd be floating at the bottom of a river.
He'd be sleeping with the fishes.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm thinking about other sports leagues, but the NBA is a predominantly black league. Oh, I'm sorry, I should say African American. Don't want to be insensitive on our own show.
The Negro League. Are we still using Negro? I don't know. I lose track of which terms we're using these days. I don't know what to be offended by these days. I get confused like that.
You know, we were both born in the 70s. We grew up in the 80s. I don't think either one of us are uncomfortable with saying black. It's not. It's just okay. It's just there.
Whatever.
You know, you got to be careful with everything now. Even on this show, I got to be careful because you have the button, and you could make me disappear from this show really quick.
Can ban you for life.
Ban me for life. You could just stop answering the calls when I call into the show to co-host with you. All of a sudden, be sitting there and say, "Why am I still on hold? What's going on, Dre? There's a show. Hey, let me in. There's a show." And you just run the show without me, and all of a sudden there's another co-host. It's fine. That's okay. But, yeah, he's got to go away. I'm actually more okay with it now from that standpoint of the NBA trying to do business. I'm not going to get into the, you know, constitutional argument here. This guy's got freedom of speech. But everybody is. He was free to say it, but that doesn't mean you're free to say things without implications.
There is no constitutional argument because he's not in jail for what he said, so that has nothing to do with it.
Nobody took his rights away. What they're saying is you're going to sell that team, you're going to make a shitload of money, but we don't want you in our league. You can go do whatever you want. You're going to make a lot of money. This guy's still going to be a billionaire after he sells his team for probably a massive profit compared to what he paid for this team overall. When you think about it, he's been owning the team for that long. So he's coming out of this just fine. Any fights that are going to be over this are going to be a pissing contest. And for people like you and I who just get to watch from the sidelines, it will be glorious because it's just going to be a complete sideshow.
Yeah, the movie is going to get made. The book's going to get written. This is only the beginning, as we said. Proving how bad I am as a talk show host. Still, I wait until the after show to get my big opinion, the big money opinion. What's the angry black man thing? What does he think of him taking his team away for racist comments? I still don't know if I'm okay with it. Even now, even after a few days of pondering it, when that announcement was made this past Tuesday, I was absolutely floored. I could not believe such a strong action had been taken against Donald Sterling, basically because of some comments he made on a tape. He didn't even know he was being taped. Now, he has said many different racist things in public without being taped. So it's not like he had this great persona that he was pushing out there and trying to fool everybody, and then secretly had these tendencies that he got busted on tape saying. Everyone knew what he was. Everyone knew he felt like this. So that's part of why I'm not sure I'm okay with this, because everyone knew. Everyone already knew what kind of guy this person was. And why is it a problem now? Because all the sponsors pulling out from the Clippers because of powerful black men, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, the list goes on. Even the president of the United States weighed in saying how unacceptable these comments were. I don't know, maybe all of that, the political, the financial, all those factors came together to weigh in. Maybe there was a real threat of a boycott if Adam Silver didn't do what he did Tuesday. Maybe he knew that. Maybe he had the inside intel and knew that there were going to be some very, very embarrassing and serious consequences if he did not lay the hammer down such as it was. But, man, I can't really say that I think that would have happened if not for heavy financial and political pressure. I think the idea of taking a team away from a guy because of something he says is a really slippery slope, because
he didn't break the law.
I don't think he's the only white man that owns a sports team that thinks of black people that way. I'm just going out on a limb and saying that. And for this punishment to happen to him, some people that I can imagine being racist douchebags that I don't have any proof of necessarily. I think of Dan Snyder. I think of Jerry Jones. I can easily imagine these guys thinking that they're plantation owners and that their players are their slaves, because they just give off that vibe. That might be completely unfair, and I don't care. But to go down that road of this guy said this on a recording where he didn't know he was being recorded, and now we're going to ban him from the league for life and take a vote to force him to sell his team, I really think that's a slippery slope to go down. If you get a black man owning a team and he's caught on tape sitting around with his boys over some beer playing poker and talking about the white man and making jokes about the white man, which is not uncommon at all, does he get his team taken from him for being racially insensitive? I don't know where this ends, and I don't necessarily like that it had to begin, because I just think it's a slippery slope. So I'm all for anything bad happening to Donald Sterling because he's a complete turd. But at the same time, I'm still not sure if I'm okay with him taking his team.
Well, you know, and I think back to, like, you and I. I mean, we've been knowing each other 30-some-odd years now. And, you know, we can talk very openly about race stuff. We can joke about it, probably inappropriately at times, where we've made comments that might be a little non-politically correct. Hey, if one of us had a grudge against the other one and had a tape recorder at the time, and that somehow, you know, hey, let's say our show was, we had, you know, 100 listeners instead of 40 listeners that we've seemed to have peaked at here, but that's great because we used to have 5. The old cheese biscuits, you know, we still don't know who cheese biscuit is, but we'll figure it out someday. They'll write in. But hey, yeah. One of us has something against the other one, and we know we're on that topic, and we're making jokes about something, and all of a sudden that gets to some media outlet, and then I lose my job? Or, you know, we own this show, and somebody just decides, hey, you know, we're going to just take this away from you? It really interesting. Or I lose my job, my real job, you know, all of a sudden they come in and say,
yeah,
you know, you said something, whoa, what? Wait a minute. So without... And first of all, why was this guy even being taped? This is what this whole thing, the more you think about it, the weirder and weirder and weirder it gets. But you still can't deny what the guy said. You can't have a league that's so heavily black keep this guy around anymore. It's sort of that little straw that broke the straw that broke the camel's back is really what it is. And the tide of public opinion, everything is all against this guy. If you want him gone, you've got to get him gone. You've got to make this happen quick, because if this does drag out, eventually it does turn into a redemption story. He'll do a 60-minute interview, or he'll go on SportsCenter, and he'll actually get a little PR. And
ooh, he's got to find somebody sympathetic to do that for him. No, I don't know if that's going to happen.
I'm just saying, hey, Michael Vick came back.
Yeah,
you
he
know,
did.
He was the devil. Michael Vick was the devil to a lot of people, and he even came back. So I'm sure this isn't the last time we're going to talk about this. This has got legs.
Absolutely. This broadcast is copyrighted. We had other topics we were going to get to, and we didn't get to them, but what else is new? This is a much less detail in the podcast, after all.
I didn't know what we were going to talk about beyond that.
I had baseball.